Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Seed of Real Stories podcast. I'm Mark Weinstein, and joining me on the program today is Ben Mays, a recent graduate of Cedarville University who is making an impact on Capitol Hill in Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley's office. Mays graduated from Middletown Christian High School before studying political science at Cedarville. And that makes perfect sense now that he's working with many politicians in Washington, D.C. Today on the program, we will talk about the impact of Cedarville's D.C. semester program and how Ben sees himself impacting future legislation. But for now, let's go to my conversation with Ben Mays. Welcome, Ben. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Mark. Great to be on the podcast.
So I mentioned, as you heard at the start of today's podcast, that you're from Southwest Ohio, graduating from Middletown Christian High School before coming to Cedarville. Why did you decide to come to Cedarville University as a student?
Well, it's a good question, Mark. So Middletown Christian went there third grade through my senior year. And when I was looking at where I wanted to go to college, I knew I wanted to go to a Christian university. That was something I was certain about.
Yeah.
I happened to have a guidance counselor at Middletown Christian who had connections to Cedarville University. I'd heard nothing but good things. Interestingly enough, it was my twin brother who graduated from Cedarville. His junior and senior year at Middletown Christian was on the track team. And so he would go up to Cedarville for track meets. And so one time I went up to see him compete and saw campus for the first time and said, I like this place. Of course, I did See You Fridays and fell in love with the place. And that's kind of how my journey at Cedarville began.
So on the surface, as a high school student, when you came here to visit and you liked this place, what was it you saw that you liked?
First thing I noticed, and this was at the both the track meets and the CU Fridays, those first visits you get on campus as a senior in high school, it was the people. Some of the most kind, loving, welcoming, the students, the faculty, they'd pray with you, answered any questions. You felt right at home. You felt welcomed in. And for me, my high school graduating class was, I believe, 25 or 26.
Okay.
So for me, you know, going to university with, at the time, over 3,000 undergrad, now it's, you know, over 5,000, was a little daunting, to say the least.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel unease at all. I felt right at home. And that struck me. And I had toured a couple other universities as I was, you know, shopping around. The Cedarville for me was, it was an hour from home. It had what I was looking for. And I just felt home there.
Yeah, I think I hear that story a lot. It's easy to fall in love with a campus when you see it. It's just a beautiful campus. But what sets Cedarville apart, one, is our distinctive on Christian biblical principles, but then also the people. The people really make the place home. As I was preparing for today's program, in my mind, I came up with two advantages that I can tell that sets Cedarville's political science program apart from others. One advantage, I would say, are the faculty. And getting to study under Dr. Mark Caleb Smith, maybe Dr. Kevin Sims, Dr. Glenn Dewar, just to name a few. But it's also the impact of the D.C. semester program. Is that how you see things when you look at Cedarville now as an alum?
Well, I couldn't agree more with you, Mark. The D.C. semester is a one-of-a-kind opportunity. And it was a huge thing that kind of sealed the deal for me. My senior year, I knew I wanted to study political science. I had that locked in. I've always loved history. I've always loved civics, government, things like that. So political science was the way I knew I wanted to go. I knew I wanted to major in that. And then the D.C. semester was something I learned about my first time on campus. I talked with Dr. Glenn Dewar about the program. And I just thought, this is something I have to do, whether that's my junior year, my senior year. I ended up doing it my junior year. And at the time, I thought, can I even do that? You know, I'd only been to D.C. once before, my eighth grade trip. And I thought, could I even study in D.C. for a semester? Intern in Congress, could I do that? And I said, well, I've got to try. And so that was a huge, huge thing.
And we'll unpack more of the D.C. semester program down the road in this podcast. But in a surface level for our listeners, it's a program where students, about 12 students each one semester a year, go to D.C., study, take classes with one professor, but then also get to intern with maybe a legislator or lobbying group, or something related to political science. So let's go back to the faculty. So you mentioned Dr. Dewar. I mentioned Dr. Sims, Dr. Smith. What kind of impact did these professors and others have on you as you were studying political science?
First couple years on campus, you know, your freshman year, your sophomore year. For me, the thing that stood out, not only that, you know, the class sizes were small enough that I could develop personal relationships with the professors, which is so important. I can't speak about that enough. But also, it's about the foundations that were laid those first few years on campus. The professors at Cedarville in the History and Government Department are very interested in making sure that the students understand to leave. What is that about government? What is that about politics? What is that about ethics? What do you really believe? And how does that tie to your faith? Because everything should be centered around a biblical worldview. So how, as a Christian, can you enter this field of politics? How can you be effective and bring God glory in government? And that was very important for those first few years, laying that foundation. And of course, you're reading the classics. You're reading Augustine. You're reading Thomas Aquinas. You're reading John Locke. You're reading the Founding Fathers. You're getting that experience in the original text, all of that stuff. But then it's being applied in the classroom to real life. How do we apply that to legislation? What does the Bible have to say about these issues? And so that's very important. So those first few years were key before ever going to Washington to work in person in a very difficult, often very challenging place.
Your DC semester experience, you interned with Ohio Congressman Warren Davidson. Do you think you would have secured a role with Senator Grassley or any legislator if you didn't have that experience with Ohio Congressman Davidson in the D.C. semester?
I would say, Mark, that it certainly played a role. Just to have, you know, I like to think of it as almost a leg up. A lot of people graduated college without any internship experience,
sure.
Without any out of the classroom experience. And you can learn so much in the classroom. I'm not trying to say that. What I'm saying is you need both. I think that's important, especially in this field. So I think it did help. And actually, I interned for Senator Rob Portman the summer before coming to D.C. to intern for Congressman Davidson. That right there was also helpful before even going to Washington. But I'm sure it had an impact. And of course, it was a great experience and provided that first glimpse into, hey, this is what Washington, D.C. is really like.
Yeah.
Can you do this here?
What does an intern for either Senator Portman or Congressman Davidson, what do they do in those roles as interns?
Well, it's a little of everything, I'd say. You primarily are answering the phones. Now, what was interesting for me, and I think was kind of a blessing, I got to intern for my congressman. Right. Congressman Davidson is the representative of the 8th District, Middletown, Ohio, Monroe, Ohio. So for me, that was very impactful in how I learned to do government in D.C. I mean, we all know that Washington, D.C. is a representation of the country. We understand that principle. But for me, I got to see, you know, my hometown mayor come in. I got to talk to constituents on the phone who live, you know, down the street from me. And so that was impactful. Not to say that, you know, if you intern for any member, you're not going to get a good experience. You're not going to learn things. You're not going to be useful. But for me, that was very special. So that stands out to me as I reflect on my time there. But a lot of it is talking with constituents, something that stands out to me even with Senator Portman's internship. I was interning in his office in Cincinnati that summer before coming to D.C., and that was the summer that the Afghanistan withdrawal occurred. So a lot of constituents calling in, very concerned, had family in Afghanistan, new loved ones there, couldn't get a hold of them. And I'm an intern on the phone, and I've got to try to console them, trying to direct them who to contact. The State Department was obviously very, very busy and overwhelmed. And that was incredibly humbling to participate in that, but also just, you know, very informative. And so I hope I was able to be helpful. But, you know, interns are important. You do research, you do writing, you can attend briefings, meetings. When I was here in D.C., I got to do those things. And so a lot of cool experiences. Again, like I said, meeting people who are from my hometown.
That had to make it more personal for you because you may be talking with people that your family knows or you know. I understand the DC semester program can be challenging. How would you describe the challenges that you encountered as a student in DC?
Like I've said before, I wouldn't trade the semester for the world, but it's often a lot of things you experience when you're out of college and you're 8 hours away from home. And for me, you know, really the first time extended away from home, you know, college is obviously you're away from home, but it's a different feeling when you're 8 hours away. You're in a big city. It's a hard place to work, no doubt. I would say the good sidebar is that Those 12 students you're with for that semester, 12, 15 students, and the professors who are running the program, they're there for you. You have a little extension of Cedarville here in DC. And so that's what's beautiful about it. Yes, you're away from home. You miss family. You get tired. You know, it's in a sense, maybe a first full professional job you're going to have. So those are things you're trying to figure out and balance. You're trying to network. You're trying to obviously be excellent about your internship, trying to keep up your classes that you're taking. But then the positive is, again, going back to the class and having those discussions and comparing notes and saying, you're struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. How can we come alongside each other and edify each other, build each other up?
So you're actually not just learning from the books or from the congressmen or the legislators, but you're actually learning from classmates.
100%.
Any example come to mind where one of your classmates shared some things that made you think in a different way?
It was often the little things, whether it was a bad phone call with the constituent. That happened a lot. You're trying to do your best with it, but after a while, it does weigh on you a little bit. And that's part of the job. Representative government is not easy, but it's essential to preserving democracy. And so the constituents have a right to express their views about any subject. And you just have to remember it's not personal. So often it would be conversations with friends during the semester of, well, how do you approach when it does become personal? You know, how do you kind of work through that? And a big thing is, you know, just praying with each other, again, edifying each other, building each other up. The professors were so supportive. During our time, we had 5 DC semester professors in the department actually come out and kind of rotate in the program, which was never done before. But I actually think it was incredibly beneficial. I really enjoyed that. So yeah, again, it's about that edifying and that building up, which is something that you don't get that in DC a lot.
I've had the opportunity to meet Congressman Davidson. I know he's a man of faith in Jesus. How were you able to personally, professionally, and spiritually grow under his leadership?
One of our classes during the DC semester was an assignment where we needed to interview either an elected official or a leader, something to that effect. And so I thought, well, I'm going to interview the congressman if he's willing to do it. And of course he was. So I got to sit down with him for 30, 40 minutes. I think it ended up being 45 minutes. It only needed to be 15, but he was just so willing and, you know, kind to sit there and answer my questions and have a conversation. And we talked about faith. And of course I'm asking him the big questions, you know, what is it like to be a Christian in DC working in Congress, you know? But he went into so much about how, you know, our faith, it not only is how we live, it's how we view life. It's how you approach legislation, loving people, these things that we no longer seem to talk about as a society as a whole. So as a Christian, live your faith out, but you also have to realize that you are, you know, there's a spotlight on you.
Right.
God's watching, but other people are watching you too. You're going to be excellent about what you do, something we talk about at Cedarville all the time, excellence and effort. Are you going to be kind to people? Are you going to be loving? Are you going to be caring?
Is it fair to say that your time with Congressman Davidson confirmed in your heart that working on Capitol Hill is what Ben Mays wanted to do for his professional life?
Well, that is the question mark. And yes, it did. I'm going to come to DC. Can I do it? Is this something to confirm that I've been called to do? I believe it is. I believe vocations are callings. So the DC semester was crucial because, yes, I left the DC semester knowing not only, yes, I can do this. Yes, I'm called to do this. And this is something I want to do once I graduate college. And so it was such an amazing experience. It's only 3 months, 3.5 months, but you walk away changed, really. Not only in how you view government, but in how you view your faith in relation to working in politics.
I would think it would have to build a level of confidence in you or other students. After that 3.5 months, you know that you can, and you did. Off of that, let's pivot to your work with Senator Grassley, which you obtained really about 3 months after graduating from Cedarville. You started in his office, I believe, as a staff assistant, but since then you've been promoted. So what's your current role and your responsibilities?
So yes, I was promoted to legislative correspondent in December. I handle Senator Grassley's agriculture, trade, environment, wildlife portfolios, and it has been truly an education. You know, I hear this a lot, and now that I work in Washington, D.C. full-time as staffer on the Hill, I can confirm that it is like going back to college in a sense, because you are constantly learning. You are constantly, whether you like it or not, you are constantly learning. You are constantly interacting with issues you've never heard about before, but you're getting up to speed on these things often very quickly. And I love that. So for me, a big part of it is helping to shape the senator's his language that he will send to constituents on those issues in the portfolio. It's attending briefings, taking meetings with constituents, interest groups, whether that's agriculture, trade issues, wildlife preservation, those issues. Briefing the senator occasionally on those issues, working very closely with the senator's legislative assistant on those topics. And really, something that I love about working on the Hill is, again, that learning part of the job, where there's really no end to what you can learn in those issues. But it's all focused towards helping to serve the senator so that he can serve the people of Iowa.
How often do you interact with Senator Grassley?
On a regular basis, often multiple times a week to sometimes every day.
Is it normal for someone like yourself to land a position like you've done with the senator so quickly?
It's a good question, Mark. I don't know if it's abnormal or not, but I think it was a God thing for sure, because I didn't apply for the position. I didn't know the senator was hiring. I certainly would have considered applying if I'd known that,
right.
But I didn't. But God certainly works all things together for his good.
So how did Senator Grassley find you?
Well, that's a good question, Mark. To this day, I'm not entirely sure. I guess my resume was floating out in the ether somewhere, but I may never know.
Really?
For sure. But
you've never had a conversation with him about this?
Not yet. I'll have to ask him at some point. It was one of the first things he said to me when I met him for the first time. He said, "You're the Ohioan we hired." I said, "Yes, sir. I'm just an Ohioan working for an Iowan." Iowa and Illinois were always the second home for me, because my grandparents lived out in Illinois and Iowa, right along the Mississippi River. So there was that connection, I suppose. But I do understand agriculture and how hard it is to farm in this environment and all those challenges. So that has been helpful, at least as someone who isn't from Iowa per se.
So what do you like about Senator Grassley that makes coming to work every day a challenge and enjoyable?
I would say one word: he is pragmatic. Senator Grassley keys about results. He does not get bogged down in the current climate of Washington, D.C. Current political climate of the country is, to put it bluntly, not great.
Right.
But Senator Grassley, he's been doing this a very long time. He has seen a lot of things. There's nothing that surprises him. He was elected to the Senate in 1980, so was swept into Congress, into the Senate with the Reagan Revolution. And so when I talk with him, you know, it's sometimes I'm like, this is, you know, a big deal. This is troubling. And he'll just be very calm about it, and nothing new under the sun. We'll figure out a solution. I've got solutions in mind. And so that has been encouraging to me. I can tell you he works harder than anyone I've ever seen. Keeps us on our toes. And so, yes, every day getting up, coming into work, I know that we're going to get good work done. I'm going to learn a ton, and we're going to be excellent about it, because that's what the senator expects, and that's what the people of Iowa deserve.
I read in a recent news story about you that was written by Kaylee Getter in the Cedarville Public Relations Department, where you said, and I'll quote, "If there was ever a time our country needed Christians working in Washington, D.C., now is that time." So, Ben, what makes you feel this way right now?
Well, Mark, like I alluded to, not only is D.C. a dark place, but the country's in a challenging place right now. Something I learned at Cedarville is that our ultimate goal in life should be to give God glory. Mm-hmm. So that's what really gets me up in the morning, Mark. Don't get me wrong. Yes, I'm passionate about policy areas, and I'm eager to learn solutions to our greatest challenges through good public policy. But at the end of the day, what will remain is the cross of Jesus Christ, which will save people and give people hope. It's not a good trade policy. It is giving people hope in our Savior. A lot of people do not understand how you can have joy in this political climate, how you can have joy in Washington, D.C., or in Columbus, Ohio. And I'm not saying that there aren't bad days and good days, but the gospel gives you joy. The gospel gives you peace. And the gospel ultimately is what you can cling to when everything seems lost. And you can share that with other people, and people will see that. They'll see that something's different. They'll see that you don't think like other people think, because you've been transformed already through Christ.
Do you want to be a senator or a congressman or even have maybe president? I don't know. What's on your bucket list for careers down the road?
Well, I don't know about President Mark, but right now I'm very content where I'm at, learning, growing. I'm looking at going to grad school, either perhaps even starting in August or in a few years. I'd like to continue studying both political philosophy and government. The good piece of advice that was given to me probably back in September, our legislative director who said to me, he said, Benjamin, going to grad school is great. He said, I highly recommend it. He said, but do it with the motivation that you want to keep learning, that you want to keep growing. Don't go to grad school because you think it's going to give you a promotion or it's going to give you a pay raise or anything like that. So that's kind of where I see myself progressing. I'd like to stay on, stay with Senator Grassley as his term continues. And then, you know, after that, we'll see where God directs me. I could always see myself, you know, getting involved in local government again, maybe one day run for office.
How do you see God working in our nation's capital right now from a spiritual perspective?
God is here. He's everywhere. God cares about politicians as much as he cares about pastors. So for me, the biggest thing has been having those Cedar River grads surround me as I, you know, entered working on the Hill full time. It was Jake and Mariah Johnson who recommended the church I now attend, Delray Baptist in Alexandria, Virginia, okay. Which was a huge, huge blessing. Because you do come to DC for the first time as an adult, if you will, out of college. And I think it's been said hundreds of times, and I will be the 150th person to say it. You've got to have a home church when you graduate college. You've got to get connected. You've got to stay grounded in that. It's essential. And there are so many great churches here in DC, or in the greater DC area that do preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have that community, offer that group of people who will come alongside you, build you up, edify you, the people you can talk to. They understand the challenges of your job. A lot of them work on the Hill or in government, or perhaps the Defense Department. So they understand that. And so that's been perhaps one of the biggest blessings so far, is having those connections. But again, getting involved in that local church is essential.
Because you need that accountability and you need that encouragement along the way. So in terms of the Cedarville alumni working in DC that you know, how often are you able, especially those who work on Capitol Hill, how often are you able to get together?
Well, I'd say we get together pretty often, Mark, which has been wonderful. Sometimes grabbing coffee with them, whether it's here on the Hill. Every week, I have people over to my place for coffee. The Cedarville presence in Washington, D.C. is strong. I suspect it will continue to grow. And that has been a blessing both to see and to be a part of. Even this week, we had a Cedarville team come out here for their spring break missions trip. And so right. I got to talk with them, hear about what they were doing here in this city, ministering to churches, local churches, with both evangelism and with, you know, being there to help encourage the local pastors here in D.C.
So with as many Cedarville students, alumni in D.C., how often are you able to get together with them, share your personal stories and struggles, your career stories? Is that a common? And then also, do you have a small group at church that builds into you on a regular basis?
Answer the second question first. Yes, small group at church, getting to know people every week there. Been a member there about a month now. That has been encouraging. And that's more at the, you know, local level, having those folks at Alexandria. But then the Cedarville alumni, again, work side of things, being here both on the Hill and in government to come alongside and really live life together. That does not go away when you leave Cedarville University.
The Cedarville family travels together, don't they?
It does. It really does.
That's a great thing. That's a great blessing of being here and being a student and actually being an employee of Cedarville University. Ben, our time is about up, but I want to ask a couple questions before we go. So you've been working in D.C. for a year or less. In that time, I assume you've been able to meet some national leaders besides just Senator Grassley. Any names of people you can drop like you've already met? And then what have you learned from them?
Well, one name that maybe you don't know of, but the Estonian Prime Minister decided to drop by the office to meet with the senator a couple months ago. So I did have the privilege of meeting Prime Minister Kallas of Estonia. You know, being here on the Hill, you see members of Congress daily. You see senators daily. And you also get to interact with people who are very influential, who work for those members, you know, deputy chiefs of staff, legislative directors, all of these people pouring into me as a young staffer, both professionally, spiritually. I'm involved with several Bible studies here on the Hill. I've had conversations and coffee with chiefs of staff who work for members, and we've just chatted about life. How do you have work-life balance, for example? How do you navigate the current political climate? Things like that. All of that has been such a blessing. I've learned so much already. I had the privilege of attending the State of the Union Address, which is, you know, just another exciting thing I get to do working on the Hill. Then I could go on and on, but both meeting the people who work for these people, many who are Christians, has been incredibly beneficial.
So when you, as an aide, attend State of the Union with President Biden, tell us a little bit about what this is going to look like for you, your first State of the Union address.
It is my first State of the Union address. As I understand it, Mark, every member of Congress is given an extra ticket for people in their office to attend the State of the Union. So I was just very blessed to be able to get the ticket, to get to attend. I'll be sitting in the gallery and I will get to just sit, listen to the president's speech. It's truly a surreal thing to get to be able to do. You could work on Capitol Hill for 30 years, your entire career, and never get to sit and listen to the State of the Union address. Never thought in a million years I'd get to be there in person.
Politically speaking, and let me say for our listeners that Senator Grassley is a Republican, does your work change whether there's a Republican or Democrat in the White House, or is it pretty focused on agricultural and trade because of Senator Grassley?
Short answer is my work would not change. For Iowa, agriculture is key. Iowa's the, except for California, so it's the second, but Iowa is really the primary agriculture producing state in the country. Produces more corn than any other region of North America. Very important work. And regardless of who controls what chamber or who is in the White House, my work is going to be focused on agriculture policy, trade policy, which is essential for the senator because of, again, Iowa's importance in the agriculture sector.
Ben, I enjoyed our conversation today. Thank you for taking time to talk with us on the Cedarville Stories podcast. I wish you the best. Keep serving Jesus with all your heart and keep making a difference on Capitol Hill, because we know our country needs people like you serving him and serving our country. So thanks again for joining me this week on the podcast.
Absolutely, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
I want to thank you for listening to the Cedarville Stories podcast brought to you by Cedarville University. You are encouraged to share, like, and review this podcast on your favorite podcast provider. And be sure to come back next week when we'll hear another Cedarville story for God's glory.